It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. The 105th annual Drake Relays start today with the annual Beautiful Bulldog Contest. The event is a homecoming celebration for the Drake community, a high-profile and grueling contest for world-class athletes, a major track and field event for college athletes, and a dream come true for many high school athletes in Iowa. This hour, we'll talk about the relays, what's new this year, what it means for high school students to compete at an event like this. And Pulitzer Prize-winning photographer David Peterson has just published a new book, The Drake Relays, America's Athletic Classic. I'll talk with him. But first, Brian Brown is the Franklin Pitch Johnson Drake Relays director. He's also an assistant coach at Drake and holds the Drake Relays record in the high jump. Hello, Brian.
Good morning, Charity. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for being here today.
Absolute pleasure.
What do you remember about the first time you competed at the Drake Relays?
Well, it's something that's etched in my mind. I was, for the first time, allowed to compete in the Drake Relays. It was Bob Earhart who gave me my first access to the Drake Relays, and it was in 1991. I remember the carnival atmosphere as I drove up to the campus, and I had been in 1989 and 90 to Europe and saw some really tremendous meets. But in the U.S., until that point, had not experienced what I experienced when I came upon the campus, walked into the field house, walked down the tunnel and out onto the Blue Oval, and to see on a Saturday such an electric atmosphere. I think it was Stacy Dragila who cleared a bar, and the crowd just went crazy. And I felt the intensity of that, and it really, I was hooked from that very moment.
What was the weather like in 91?
It was great. And as far as I knew, every year was like that. Yeah, I've learned since then.
Not so much. Well, can you put this event in perspective for people who don't follow track and field? Where does the Drake Relays fit into the bigger picture?
Well, I think overall for the sport of track and field, the Drake Relays offers a little bit for everybody. I think it's for sure is part of the fabric of the state of Iowa. It's part of what has been a tradition for now over 105 years. And over that time, there's been, a love affair for the Drake students, certainly the community, but the state of Iowa. I think the relays is in many ways a home meet for all of the state institutions, whether it's Drake University, Iowa, Iowa State, Northern Iowa, and many of the community colleges who now have access. So it's a part of a rite of passage. Every time the relays comes about, it's right at the beginning of spring. And when we've been kind of cooped up with the winter and it's time to start getting out jogging and the green grass starts to appear, hopefully, it's that exciting time of coming out of the cave and getting outside, and the Drake Relays is here. So it's almost a rite of passage as the transition, and has been a big part of why is a great place to live in Des Moines because of the Drake Relays.
Now, of course, there are many world-class track and field athletes from the United States who are doing amazing things. But you mentioned being at meets in Europe and having that huge kind of carnival atmosphere. Track and field is not the biggest spectator sport in the United States. But at Drake, obviously, it has become something that people really go and enjoy and watch the athletes from year to year. The same people often come back and compete again, and people develop relationships with those people. So it has become something that is really significant to the spectators in Drake. Are there other events around the United States? The Penn Relays comes to mind. Are there other events like that that are similar?
Yeah, you know, I think the Penn Relays also have a carnival atmosphere. I've been to Mount SAC in California. They do a great job. Texas Relays and Kansas Relays. You know, there was a time, Charity, that it was the Triple Crown that everyone seeked after. And it was the ability to go to the Texas Relays, go to the Kansas Relays, and then come to the Drake Relays. And if you could win a particular event in all three, it was more or less a Triple Crown. And so that carnival atmosphere that we experienced on the track, years ago, it was there. And I think that many of the relay meets have tried to hold on, have gone through some transition. But by and large, Penn Relays and I think the Drake Relays has maintained at a higher level. I'm biased in saying that, but I will tell you, Penn Relays has a bigger business model. Their stadium is 45,000, where our stadium here in Des Moines is 14,500. But the intensity and the feeling that athletes get is about the same in terms of the intimacy of our stadium. We have a smaller bowl, but we're right near the track, and it's a great feeling. I've never been to Franklin Field in Philadelphia, but I've heard that it's a great meet. I think it's a great rivalry, not a hate rivalry. It's good for the sport of track and field.
Now, in your tenure, you have done a lot to expand events of the Drake Relays really into the community. The pole vault at Jordan Creek Mall is a great example of that. And that was your idea, right?
Yeah, it was a combination. It was Jeff Hardwig is the American record holder, and he and I had talked about it. And I found the location, flew him in, and said, what about it? He said, absolutely. And we took a deep breath. We first used some wise counsel. And my executive committee went through my senior staff. Everybody was good and took a deep breath and went for it. And this community, living in Des Moines, track and field and those types of events, if it wasn't for the support of the community, I wouldn't keep trying it. For certain, would not be trying tonight with the Hy-Vee high jump. And I just think that is something that affords itself because of the community and because of the state. So I'm excited to see how it's received.
Well, and let's talk about that a little bit, because now the pole vault of the mall, that's a big open space with a very high roof. When I'm shopping at Hy-Vee, I don't think, you know what would be great here in the produce section is a high jump pit. So how did you come up with that idea?
I live in Urbandale, and I go often to the 86 and Douglas Hy-Vee. When I walked in, you know, I'm so appreciative. I am, and certainly Drake University, so appreciative of the partnership with Hy-Vee. And I thought about what can we continue to do to forge that relationship and to make sure that we're all being galvanized. So what can I do for Hy-Vee? And walked in the store and I said, okay, we could high jump in here. And the space in there was good. When I was in Europe, I went to Oslo. And it was a high jump only competition right near the pier, not near the water. And I was just captured by the intensity and the attention to the high jump. And so in my first year as the director of the Drake Relays, I offered that event in Nolan Plaza on a Thursday, and it was fantastic. And so I know we can pull it off. Little challenges here and there, but Hy-Vee and Waikiki has been great, and we're looking forward to a great event tonight.
So what will it be like?
It'll be intimate because, you know, I think there'll be more people coming than there's room. And so actually, I know. I think we'll be fine. We have a lot of, I think, the world-class jumpers are there. We have 5 men, 5 women. We have 4 medalists, 1 American record holder. It's great. And then they're going to see up close in person, Charity, the athleticism of these great athletes. And the whole purpose is to not take away from the stadium, but to add an event where, like the mall, you can see the event in a perspective you cannot get anywhere else in the world. And I think that's what we're going to see tonight. And if you show up, come out and check it out, you're going to be impressed by the athleticism. Tonight is an exhibition. And what that means is they won't jump their personal best, but you're going to be able to see just how athletic and how talented these individuals are.
Now, the road races are, again, growing along with the Drake Relays. That's gotten to be a much bigger event on Sunday in Des Moines. And the Blue Mile is also
Absolutely.
Something that has come about under your tenure. And this is its 5th year. The Blue Mile will be tomorrow.
Absolutely.
And tell us about the Blue Mile and why that's gotten to be such an attraction.
Well, I think what's attractive about the Blue Mile is that anyone can walk, run, jog a mile. It's not as intimidating. The Grand Blue Mile was intended for the person who's on the couch and think that it's not for them, that they could only be a spectator. No, it's 5,280 feet. You can get up, set you a benchmark, and the next year, just wherever it is, your personal mile mark, come and beat it the next year. So then you can run with your kids. And by the way, Leo Manzano, our silver medalist in the London Olympic Games, he's here today at 11:30. He's going to do a community jog downtown. Anyone who want to go jog with him on his warm-up run, you just meet him near Wellmark out there in Papa John's, and you can go loop this great, you know, go and get a good jog in Old Grace Lake. So, but it's also the United States Road Mile Championships. We bid for this championship a couple years ago. We were awarded 2 years. Last year was the Road Mile Championship. So it's a level of excellence, but it's also a level of access for the community. It's all about health and wellness. It's a very altruistic event to say, just come out and get moving. And we're pretty excited about the support. We're expecting over 4,500 again this year.
One of the things that I think makes the Drake Relays special, and particularly for high school students who compete in the Drake Relays, and I know so many individuals who really consider that to be the greatest moment of their high school athletic career, competing at Drake, whether they won or not. I think one of the exciting things has been the elite athletes, the college athletes, and the high school athletes all competing in the same place and having an opportunity for the younger athletes to really feel like they are in a world-class competition. Is it part of your goal to draw even more people into that? I mean, creating events where people who are maybe not people who are considered to be athletes can participate as well?
Yeah, I think that once you are, we turn our attention to the stadium, it's more spectator, and it's more of a chance to admire some of the great athleticism on the high school level, college, and the elite level. You know, one of the things I think, Charity, is really important to note is that our fans appreciate good competition regardless of the level. If our high schoolers are coming down the home stretch and it's a close race and they're leaning, and then they dive across the finish line, that is equally as appreciated as our elite athletes who have the big name. And so that's what makes the Drake Relay special, is because our fans understand good competition and they expect it. And when it happens, they celebrate it. And so, yes, I'm very excited about our teams coming. I'm excited about, oh my, all of the great Olympic athletes. I can talk a long time about what I'm excited about.
And we will talk about a few of those in just a minute. We've got to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. I'm talking with Brian Brown. He is the Franklin Pitch Johnson Drake Relays director. He's also an assistant coach at Drake, and he holds the Drake Relays record in the high jump. And in a couple of minutes, we'll also talk about what it means for high school athletes to compete at the Drake Relays. I'll talk with Randy Wilson, who's also a Drake record holder back from way back in 1978. And he's also taken many, many students to the Drake Relays as well over the years. Randy Wilson from Knoxville will join us in a few minutes. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. We're talking about the Drake Relays this hour. The Drake Relays kick off today, and there will be events throughout the week with closing ceremonies on Sunday. With me right now is the director of the Drake Relays, Brian Brown. We're going to talk about some of the events he's most excited about this year, and then we're going to focus on what it means for high school athletes to compete in the Drake Relays. And we'd love to hear your story. Did you compete at the Drake Relays? Was it a moment you will always remember? Tell us your story. 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And Brian, I know you have some really remarkable events coming up at the Relays this year with elite athletes. Let's talk about the 400-meter event that you have coming up, because you have the best 400 meter runners from around the world coming.
Yeah, and I think that, if we do a little research, and I haven't done this yet, but the field that we're going to put out on the Blue Oval, it will be hard pressed to find any competition, Olympic Games included, that will have the type of quality that we're going to have in those eight lanes. We're going to have the number one ranked 400 meter runner in the world in LaShawn Merritt. We're going to have the number two, which is Karani James. Number three, we're going to have Tony McQuay. And number four, Lugulan Santos. Number six, we're going to have number nine and number 12. So in eight lanes, it's going to be. And by the way, we also have Jeremy Warner, who was also a gold medalist and an Olympic Hall of, and a Hall of Famer at Drake. So I'm excited about just how it's going to unfold. And around the track and field community, Charity, everyone pays attention when LaShawn Merritt and Karani James steps on the track at the same time. It does not happen in some of the best Diamond League events around the world, but it's going to happen right here in our backyard in Des Moines. And right now, they keep track with who's done what, and right now it's 5-4 Karani James, but last year LaShawn Merritt was 3-2. So out of 9 races, they're keeping count. So it's an epic moment. It's like two heavyweights going at it, but there's going to be, you got to watch the sleeper. Who's it going to come? Who's it going to be that comes out of nowhere? It's a pride factor. There's a lot on the line. In order to get those two gentlemen on the track at the same time, I had to really check with both camps back and forth to make sure that we can both make this happen. And they agreed to it. So I'm excited about it. And it's special. It really is.
One of the other events that a lot of people are going to have a lot of fun watching is your shuttle hurdle showdown that you've put together. Tell us about that.
Well, this is one that I can't wait to see how it works. My hope is that there's a blanket after the first leg. There's a real clean blanket of runners the second, the third, and all the way to the end. And it's just we become breathless, and we hold our breath till the end. But here's some of the best hurdlers in the world. And just by numbers, the number 1, 3, 5 in the world with the 7th in the U.S., against the number 2, 4, 6 in the world, and number 8th in the U.S. Then you put a Jamaican team of the very best that Jamaica has to offer, and then you take the best young American hurlers who's nipping at the butt for these others, and then you just, again, you see who's going to get it done. So the same thing is with the men, and again, you have just tremendous talent. And the men is a little different charity where you have the gentlemen who competed together in college. I put them on the same team. They've been competing against each other forever. Now they get a chance to run as a team. And then the second group, they competed together in college. So it's more of a class. It's more of a time issue. And then, again, Jamaica is there and then some young hurlers. So a fun time, never been seen at this level for every lane being so quality. A world's best, which is essentially a world record, should come out of this event. And yeah, I'm really excited to see how that unfolds, although it's not my most exciting event that I'm going to be watching this year at the Drake Relays.
Which is?
I have a daughter who's a freshman, and I'll be paying close attention to the races she'll be running. So that's going to be the most exciting, although I'll be pretty hyped for the others as well.
What is she running?
She's at Johnson. She's going to run, I think, 4 events, the 4x1, the 4x2, sprint medley, and the 4x4.
Wow. You're also, I know you always hope for records to be broken at Drake, Drake records, world records also, of course, but Drake records in particular. And this year you're really hoping to set a new Drake record for the mile.
Right. Yeah. I have Nick Willis and Amon Woti, some gentlemen who've just run phenomenal already this year. I put a little bit of a bonus out there if they break Alan Webb's record, which is 351.71. Matter of fact, Alan Webb broke Steve Scott's record some years ago. And when he did it, it was such a thrill in the stadium because the mile provides a sustained level of energy and it builds from lap to lap. And if everyone is doing their job, including the pacemaker, the pace setter, then you can have great expectations that rises the final lap. And that's what I'm hoping is created this year in the mile. And I'm excited to see if it's going to happen.
Do you think somebody's going to break your record
this
year?
They might break it in warm-up. I think that it's time. In 97, I was fortunate to clear a pretty good bar. And over the time, we've had really good talent and some attempts at it. It's time that it goes down. Eric Kennard, who's one of the competitors, he tied the record. Dusty Jones, one of the competitors, tied the record. But it's time for it to come down. And these guys have jumped 7.9 and 7.10. So I'm hopeful that 7.7 won't be a problem.
All right. They're not going to break it at Hy-Vee, but...
No, definitely not at Hy-Vee.
And some of the relays will be broadcast live on ESPN this year, right?
It's going to be actually... NBC Sports
NBC,
Network.
I'm sorry about that.
So,
yep.
And Universal. So Friday, I think they're going to kick it over to Universal Sports and then a 2-hour live coverage, 2-4 Central Standard Time on Saturday. And they're going to roll in some of the footage from the week and Friday night. But it's going to be a live show on NBC Sports Network.
Wonderful. Well, stay with us, Brian. I want to turn my attention now to the high school athletes who compete at the Drake Relays. And I know you're a busy man, so we'll let you go in just a few minutes. But I want to bring a couple of other people into the conversation now. And one of those people is Randy Wilson, who has a long history with the Drake Relays. He holds the Drake Relays record in the 800 meters. He's also athletic director for the Knoxville Community School District. Hello, Randy.
Hey, how you doing today?
Good. Thank you so much for being here today.
Let's get this rain through here and out of the way for this weekend.
Right. Well, hopefully it doesn't look like there's snow in the forecast, so it should be a good Drake Relays.
Brian Brown's in charge of the weather, so we'll just look toward him for guidance this weekend.
Tell me what you remember about that 800-meter race that you ran at the Drake Relays in 1978.
Oh, my goodness. That was a, honestly, both the 77 and 78 Drake Relays, I was fortunate enough to win the Invitational 800. And in 78, I was the defending champion. Meet record holder from the year before, and they had put together a tremendous field once again, Bob Earhart and his staff at the Drake Relays at that time. And it was just a beautiful, chilly, rainy day, and kind of like today, but it was the Drake Relays. So, you know, you were ready to race. We had had wonderful indoor season. I was a student at the University of Oklahoma. We had won some races at the Texas Relays. We had won some races at the Kansas Relays that spring. And so the Drake Relays, that was the ultimate. It was coming home for me, being a kid from Knoxville, Iowa, going away to college and being able to come back and compete at Drake was just the neatest thing. And to outkick some of the great 800-meter runners in the world both years, and to still hold the record, you know, 36 years later, is just kind of a pretty neat feeling.
Now, you have talked about what it was like to hear Jim Duncan, who, of course, was the legendary announcer at the Drake Relays, saying your name while you were running. Tell us what you heard.
Well, it is kind of hard to explain, I guess, in a way, if you've never heard Mr. Duncan's voice. But he had a way about getting the entire stadium lathered up and ready for a race, and during the race, getting them on their feet and just basically getting them involved. And coming off the final turn, and it was my junior year in 1977, I was in third behind two Olympians, Mike Boyt from Kenya and Rick Walhooter from the United States. And I remember, and a lot of times in races, runners, you don't hear anything. You're so focused on your event. You might hear footsteps. You might hear one of the runners say something. But coming off the curve, I heard Jim Duncan say, "And Wilson is moving." And honestly, I thought to myself, well, if Jim Duncan said it so, I better get my rear end in gear and get going. And I won by a step, and that was just a tremendous feeling, and broke my lifetime best my junior year and again my senior year, and have a couple of wristwatches to show for it.
Wow. And do you really feel like hearing Jim Duncan say that gave you a little extra boost that you needed to win?
No doubt in my mind, and I know it is just like today when the kids out there hear Mike Jay's voice, same reaction. They're gonna dig down and look for that extra. So that's pretty cool.
And we do have Mike Jay on the line. He is an Iowa high school track coach for 25 years now. He's retired, but he is in his 10th year as the lead announcer at the Drake Relays. Hello, Mike.
Good morning. I'm just sitting here with goosebumps listening to Brian and Randy Wilson talk, and it just, let's get this show started.
Well, and you have said that watching Randy break that record was one of your favorite moments of the relays as a spectator.
Oh, I'll never forget it. I happened to be at the state meet when Randy was a high schooler at Knoxville. You know, he was a state champion in an odd combination of events, the high hurdles and the mile. Then he goes to Oklahoma and becomes one of the world's best 800-meter runners. And even today, when I announce, you know, if there is a special in the 800 at the Drake Relays, I always announce it with my fingers crossed that Randy Wilson's record doesn't get broken. It's just one of those special things that, you know, and he mentioned it, you know, here he is going to school in Oklahoma and coming back, you know, 50 miles from home at the Drake Relays, arguably the greatest track meet in the world, and two-time champion and sets the Drake Relays record, and I'll never forget it. He had a little more hair back then, but boy, what a stride, what an athlete. It was fun to watch, and it's a great memory.
Now, Mike, when did you first start going to the Drake Relays?
1975 was my first Drake Relays. I was a sophomore in high school. My track coach said, hey, we've got an extra wristband. Back then you could get in with a wristband. And do you want to go? Well, my first thought was, yeah, I get a day out of school. I'll go. And I've been fortunate enough not to miss. This will be my 40th year of the relays, and each and every year it gets better.
What was it that you saw that first year that got you hooked?
Well, to be quite honest with you, Charity, it wasn't necessarily what I saw. It was Jim Duncan, and Randy alluded to that. Everybody, even if you weren't a track fan, knew who Jim Duncan was because he did the Hall of Fame inductions at the Girls State Basketball Tournament, and you got to see him on TV. But to hear him call a track meet was absolutely wonderful, and that's what hooked me. I was just the energy in the stadium. Then, of course, the athletes. And back then, if you were an athlete in a team uniform or a team sweatsuit, you could get down on the infield. So I would spend half the day just roaming around getting autographs. And the meet has grown in a good way to be much bigger than that, and that's about impossible to do. But those memories, those things just hooked me on it. And just the competition. Every event at Drake, regardless of whether it's a record being set or not, is competitive. And you know, you guys talked about it earlier, the high school kids mixing in with the Olympians and the top college and university athletes is special. And it seems like each and every year we get an athlete, whether it be a high school athlete or a university college athlete or even a professional, that kind of have a breakout at the relays. And all of a sudden, now they are in the run for a state championship a month later, or they are in the run for a national championship, or they are in the run to make an Olympic team. And it's not uncommon that the Drake Relays are the storied ground, if you will, not only for all of us, but for those athletes that, you know, that's where they cut their teeth. That's where they take the next step is at the relays. It's not uncommon at all.
Well, what do you mean, or what do you think it means for high school athletes in Iowa? And I want to hear from all three of you on this before we get to the break. What does it mean for high school athletes in Iowa to have an opportunity to go and see these Olympians and these world-class athletes and compete at the same track?
Well, as a longtime coach, I'll tell you, and Randy may echo this, he coached for a number of years as well, but it's kids talk about qualifying to the Drake Relays and getting that mark to get in much, much more than they do the qualifying for the state track meet. And not that the state track meet isn't important, but it's not on the same level ground as the Drake Relays because that is the elite of the elite. You know, just as an example, in the 400 hurdles, they're taking the top eight 400 hurdlers in the state regardless of class. You know, no prelims. It's a final. It's you against the other best seven in the state. In the distance races, you know, it's all classes combined. So you have the opportunity to have four cross-country champions in a race and find out who's the best. I think that's what really turns these kids on to that, as well as being on the same track, the same blue oval as those college champions and Olympians.
I think you're exactly right, Mike. If I could reiterate from what I see as a high school coach, you know, to qualify for Drake is the ultimate. It is absolutely the hardest thing to do as a track athlete. And I think a lot of kids, if they figure, hey, I've qualified for Drake this year, I'm going to do well at the state meet in my class. And 99 times out of 100, barring injury or illness, that's the way it happens.
And Brian, can you weigh in as well? Now, of course, your daughter going to the Drake Relays, I'm sure that means a lot more to her, considering that both of her parents are track and field royalty. And this is probably a really exciting moment for her. But from what you've seen over the years, what does it mean for these high school kids?
Notice, I think that there's many times that the who are competing in high school, they came through the shuttle. They came through the middle school ground. They came through and they'd worked their way. So to make it to the Drake Relays, they many times have sat in the stands and seen something great themselves. So now it's their turn. And I think to get a Drake Relays championship, many of them don't get a flag, but to be in a position to get a flag or to cross the line first and to be a champion, I think is huge. But just to compete, just to be, to say, I've traveled a lot of different places, and a lot of people have said, I competed in the Drake Relays with great fervor. And when you ask them about it, it was either at the high school level, some of them at the shuttle level, the little kids, and they remember it. And I think it's just the opportunity to be a part of something special. And I think Mike hit it for me to compete across class. You don't get the chance to do that anywhere else against the best of the best until you get to the Drake Relays.
Brian Brown.
If I could add one thing. A number of big relay events, I'm talking Penn, Kansas, Texas, Mount SAC, they invite high schoolers from across the country.
Good point, Mike.
I think that's what makes Drake so special. We do not need to invite high schoolers from across the country to have the best competition. And I think that would take away from our Iowa high school kids if we brought kids in from another state. As much as we love those kids from the other states, we don't want somebody from Colorado to be a Drake Relays high school champion.
All right, we're going to take a short break. Brian Brown, I know we need to say goodbye to you. Thank you so much for taking time out of this busy, busy week to talk to us.
Thank you, Charity, and I agree with Mike. Definitely.
Brian Brown is the Franklin Pitch Johnson Drake Relays director. We'll get back to our conversation about the Drake Relays in a moment. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about the Drake Relays. The 105th annual Drake Relays start today and run through Sunday. A lot of events coming up this week. I've been talking with the director of the Drake Relays, and now we're focusing for a few minutes on what it means for high school athletes to participate in the Drake Relays. With me on the line are Randy Wilson. He has been a participant in the Drake Relays. He still holds the record for the 800 meters at Drake. He's also sent many students there over the years. He is the athletic director for the Knoxville Community School District. Mike Jay is here with me as well. He's been an Iowa high school track coach for many years. He's retired from that, but he is now in his 10th year as the lead announcer, the voice of the Drake Relays. And now we want to welcome to the conversation David Peterson, who is a Pulitzer Prize-winning photographer. He has photographed the Drake Relays for many decades, and he has now published a new book called The Drake Relays, America's Athletic Classic, full of beautiful, beautiful pictures from the Drake Relays. Hello, David.
Hello, Charity. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
And what do you remember from your first experience at the Drake Relays?
Well, first I want to say to Randy that I got your picture in my book. So,
awesome.
Okay.
A few extra because of that.
Well, I may do that, yeah. That was one of his races that he beat Mike Boyd in. I think the picture is from 1978.
One of the many awesome moments that,
right.
that you recorded.
There are many.
The yeah, so many, and so much emotion, so much movement on these pages. But let's talk about your first Drake Relays.
Okay, that was in 1969. I was a sophomore middle distance runner for Kansas State University. And Brian Brown alluded a little bit to the other two big meets of that time, the Texas Relays and the Kansas Relays. And it was called the Relay Circuit back then. And those two meets were a little bit stronger in those days. And it really meant something to win all three races in a relay or an individual event. And we came to Drake in 69 with a very good two-mile relay team that had already won at Texas and Kansas. So the pressure was on. For us to come through and win that triple crown. And we got some really stiff competition from a team from Wisconsin who had a very good anchor runner named Mark Winston Reed. But we had one of our own named Ken Swenson. And Ken Swenson was an Olympic runner, made the team in 1972. And we were always confident with him on the anchor leg. So we managed to win that race and win the triple crown. And that's one of the great memories I have from as an athlete at Drake.
And then just a couple of years later, you're back at Drake. Taking pictures.
Yes, not too far after that. I actually didn't have any idea of what I wanted to do when I was in college. I just wanted to get through as an athlete and just kind of figure all that stuff out later. And I happened to take a trip with my parents to South America. We had a foreign exchange student from there. And her brother had some cameras, some really fancy Nikon cameras, and I started playing around with those a little bit and absolutely fell in love with photography. And then I came back and realized I needed to go back to school, get a degree in journalism, and my first job then was at the Topeka Capital Journal. And they covered track very aggressively. Jim Ryan, actually, the star miler, worked there as an intern at one time. And so we... Rich Clarkson, my boss, sent me up to Drake my very first year as a rookie photographer, and I photographed the meet focusing on the local teams, Kansas and Kansas State. So from that point on, I haven't missed one. It's
wow.
been 38 years in a row that I've photographed the Drake Relays.
Well, and you write about it as a love affair that just gets stronger every year.
That's right. It does. And that's very true. I hope to do a few more. I don't want to stop at 38. This book is kind of a labor of love in itself, and I kind of procrastinated a little bit on that and finally got it done. It just made sense to do it. There was a void there, if you can believe it. There was not a single photo book out there on the Drake Relays in the 105-year history. So I had the material, and I had all the stuff necessary to put a book together, and really was one of my goals as a professional to do that.
In the time we have left today, I would love to hear from people who have participated in the Drake Relays. We'd love to hear your memories, because as we've been talking about, for so many people in Iowa, competing at the Drake Relays becomes a highlight of a high school athletic career, really a highlight of a high school career period, I'm sure, for many people. We'd love to hear your story at 866-780-9100. Kyle Hoffman is on the line. He is a coach at Linmar. And Kyle, I know you have a favorite Drake Relays story you want to share.
Yeah, yes, I do. First of all, thank you very much for having me as part of the show. It's quite an honor to be sitting here in the same panel with some of the other guests that you have, so thank you for that.
Well, thank you for joining us.
As I'm new to the Drake Relays, I'm from Illinois originally, and I've been coaching Linmar Distance now for the last 6 years, and I would definitely just last year's entire relay in general between Josh Evans in the 1600 and our medley, just, you know, getting at the line, our 4x2 winning, and just the success that continue with us, and just hearing some of the other guests earlier talk about how it's the privilege, it's the Drake Relays. And when that happens, you know, in a high school setting, if you're able to get a lot of different people there, it really brought our team together and really focused us that we were able to go on until late May and actually was able to get the 4A state title as a team too. So it's just, there's a lot of memories in a short time I've been experiencing it. But it's definitely been extremely exciting to be a part of as a coach.
And you you have a number of students going this year?
Yeah, we've qualified. I know we're taking 18 total runners. We've qualified 4x1, 4x2. We have a long jumper. He actually just broke our school record down at Ford Wall on Thursday. We have obviously two guys in the 1600, three in the 3200. Our medley, our 4x8 are both top seeds right now, including Josh Evans in the 16 and 30. I'm sorry, not the 16, but the 32. And so we're going back down and kind of start getting this what we call the championship season. It started with Drake in our book, in our program.
Oh, wonderful. Kyle, congratulations and good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for your call. And, you know, I'm looking through these pictures, David, and so many amazing pictures. And you've included pictures of elite athletes. You've included pictures of college athletes. You've included pictures of high school athletes as well. I have to say that really many of the most dramatic pictures here are from the college athletes. Do you have a favorite part of the competition?
Well, I think the relays are really at the core of the meet. So, and that's really what makes the meet unique from other track meets, from conference meets and dual meets and things like that, is that opportunity for four teammates to get together and run a race together and to share in that moment, whether they win or whether they lose. So I think that's the thing that we look forward to when I was running. is that chance, because track is basically a pretty individual sport for the most part. But this is a chance for you to team up with three other of your teammates and try to pull off a victory. I mean, there's nothing like it. I mean, the joy of that moment is fourfold, because you're doing it for three other people as well.
Well, and the stakes are so high. I remember sitting in the stands at the Drake Relays and watching somebody drop a baton, and I was just a kid, and my heart just broke for them.
That's all a part of it, yes. That's all a part of the experience, and you learn from those things. I think I have a picture in my book of a Baylor team dropping a baton. But, you know, they probably came back the next year and won. I don't know that for sure, but that's the kind of things that happen at Drake.
Well, Mike, from your perspective, what is your favorite part of the competition?
Well, you know, like Dave, I love the relays. I think that, you know, here's just one example. Here is University of Washington is coming because they had promised Katie Flood that she could come back and run at the relays before she graduated. So Coach Metcalf is bringing his team. She's going to run on two relays. Here's a girl that is a two-time national champion at Washington, won the 1500 on the Blue Oval. Storied history at Drake and stayed here from Dowling. But she's got three other teammates that will get the chance to hopefully share a Drake Relays win with her. And how special is that? Their chances of winning the Drake Relays as individuals is probably slim or none. But teaming with an All-American gives them that opportunity. So I think that is just really, really special. And we've seen, and I'm speaking for Randy and for Dave, but we've seen so many outstanding relays at Drake. I mean, athletes coming from behind. Oh, my goodness. It's just there's nothing like it. Those are some of the greatest memories, because you may not remember an individual, but you can remember, you know, the Prairie View relay teams or the Wayland Baptist relay teams or, you know, the Oklahoma relay teams or, you know, that type, Baylor. You know, it's just Baylor's 4x4s, they kind of all run together. They've won about 18 out of the last 22 or 23. But you remember Baylor 4x4. You know, you don't maybe not remember the individuals from each year, but you remember that Baylor relay. So the relays are that's what's special about this event. You know, you throw in the 4x1 mile, you throw in the distance medley. You know, it's unique, but it's very, very, very special.
Lisa is on the line from Iowa City, also with a relay memory. Hello, Lisa.
Hi, thank you very much for the time. I just couldn't resist sharing a family memory. I was just sort of counting backwards, and the Trimble family of Iowa City has had a history of running and producing champions in the Drake Relays. O.C. Trimble started it all, and he, unfortunately, we just lost him last year. He was a multi-time champion in the Drake Relays and brought dozens of athletes through in his time coaching at Cornell College. And then both of Ozzie's brothers were also champions. I was checking my notes, Bruce Trimble and Ralph Trimble. And then Ozzie's two sons, Mark Trimble, who now has a Fitness by Mark in Iowa City and trains people, and Matt Trimble, all of them were champions. And then Mark actually brought BCL through, I think, as a first place or state champion runner-up. And then he also coached track athletes at Hill College in Cedar Rapids. So just a long time and quite a connection all from one person. And the Drake Relays was always a really big family event each year, and we just always hoped it didn't rain.
Right. Or snow.
Or snow, exactly. Right. But I just wanted to share that memory. Yeah.
Lisa, thank you so much for sharing that. And I think that a lot of athletes – And potential athletes do take a lot of inspiration from the Drake Relays. And David, in your book, and of course anybody who knows Drake Relays history knows that there are three women in particular who went to Roosevelt High School.
Yes.
And in Des Moines, who just have done amazing things. And of course, one of them is Natasha Kaiser Brown, who we spoke with her husband earlier, Brian Brown, Kim Carson, and then of course, Lolo Jones. And the fact that these three women all came out of Roosevelt makes me wonder about what kind of inspiration having the Drake Relays in Des Moines provides for young runners in central Iowa and in the Des Moines area.
Well, particularly for those three, Roosevelt High School is not too far from the Drake track. And isn't it amazing that those three athletes have all gone on to great careers?
It's remarkable.
And each have followed each other. I mean, I think each inspired the other. And I'd like to mention one more runner named Erin Hawkins, who is also a Roosevelt graduate, who is now at the University of Minnesota. She has also won some races at Drake as a high school runner and has great potential, and she could be the fourth one. You don't know. I ran into her mother Saturday. I was having a book signing at a coffee shop, and her mother came in and was just exuberant about the book. I had Erin's picture in there three times, and she told me that Erin had fallen on some hard times. She had an injury. She was sort of down on herself a little bit, and you know, I tried to encourage her to, you know, just tell her to keep her head up, because I think she's going to be the fourth one. I think she's going to be the fourth great Roosevelt sprinter to come from that genre. So
we are nearly out of time, and I would like to hear from all three of you on this. So, Randy, I'll let you start. What do you think the Drake Relays means for the state of Iowa?
Oh, I think it's just a phenomenal event. It is a social gathering. It is a gathering of great athletes. Mike said something that just caught my attention. You know, when it doesn't matter what relay it is, what level. It could be a high school relay. It could be one of those middle school relays in the infield. People are paying attention. It could be a small college event. It is absolutely riveting when that gun goes off and the kids head around the track. It is, people are just glued to it. And I'm fortunate. My first Drake Relays was 1967, where I got to watch Jim Ryan.
Wow.
And I was a spectator. And now I've come full circle. I'm now an official at the Drake Relays. I wanted to give back to something that meant so much to me. So it's just an awesome event, and it's wonderful for our state and for Central Iowa.
Randy Wilson, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And we will put David Peterson's picture of you up on our website later on today, so you'll get a chance to see
that. I can do that.
All right. Randy Wilson,
who still
holds the record for the 800 meters at the Drake Relays. Mike, briefly, what do you think the relays mean to Iowa?
Well, you know, I was on a radio show yesterday and I said the same thing. I think there are three things in Iowa that identify Iowa with the rest of the world. That's Ragbri, our state fair, and the Drake Relays. And I think they have so much in common. All three are a social event. All three are events that families, like this connection with the Trimble family talked about, that families plan on and go to together. You know, they may come in from different parts of the country, but they meet at the Drake Relays. They meet at the state fair. They meet for Ragbri. All three mean so much to our state. And I think that, you know, selfishly, I think the Drake Relays is number one. But I think all three are so common to what Iowa means to the type of people in Iowa. You hear teams that came to the Drake Relays, and Dave, you may remember this when you ran at Kansas State. They talk about the hospitality that they get at the Drake Relays that they don't get anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is so special.
Yes, it is.
Mike Jay, thank you so much. Mike Jay is...
Yes. You're more than welcome. Thanks for having me, and thank you for spotlighting the relays.
Mike Jay is now the voice of the Drake Relays. He's in his 10th year as the lead announcer. And David, in 20 seconds, what do you think the Drake Relays mean to Iowa?
Well, they're everything. As Mike said, they're on a par with the State Fair and Ragbri, and I'd put it at the top, too. And I have a chapter in my book. It's called Flags, Flowers, Fans, and Family. And if you go to the Drake Relays and just watch the interaction between the fans and the athletes, then you'll know what this really means to the community.
David Peterson, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Pulitzer Prize-winning photographer David Peterson, he's just published a new book full of photographs from the Drake Relays. It's called The Drake Relays, America's Athletic Classic. Talk of Iowa is produced by Dennis Reese, Emily Woodbury, and Sarah Bowden. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. Technical support today from John Pemble. Tomorrow on Earth Day, we'll talk about the nature of childhood. This is Talk of Iowa.